Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Matt Kwasaborski Show, calling you live and direct, this time from Budapest, Hungary, the capital of beautiful Hungary, the place where I started my international ventures way back in 1998, teaching at a small school about 2.5 hours southwest of Budapest on beautiful and underrated Lake Balaton. Here for a conference this weekend, so hopefully we will be able to get this show in. I have to do it today on a Saturday morning because my schedule is pretty much full, and tomorrow I'm on a train for about 7 hours back to Prague. So that's about how far away I am from Prague, about 7 hours to the central east part of Europe, but still considered central Europe for sure. This is, as I said, the Matt Kwasaborski Show, here to talk about week three going into the NFL. But first, I must apologize if this connection gets broken up in any way. The internet connection in the room here is not so great in the hotel. It keeps dropping, but hopefully we'll be able to get the entire show in without any interruptions. Also, like to thank my loyal listeners who have been tuning in or liking the post on Facebook, at least, and also to Blog Talk Radio for giving us this venue to voice our opinions and to talk about things that we absolutely like and that are necessary to talk about. And this is more of a hobby. If you listen to the past couple of shows, I've told you that trying to get back into doing things that I like, especially after some of the tragic events that have happened to me. By no doubt, they weren't something you can overcome, but losing your mother, losing your fiance all at the same time, and roughly about the same year, can take a little toll on anybody, even the stronger us. But now I'm ready to get back into it and ready to talk about the NFL week three. I also am trying to do it on Blog Talk Radio, so I figure out my own website and how to put podcasts there. And also because it's just good practice to get back into doing things that we like. I love talking about the NFL this time of the year, so I appreciate it. It's also a half-hour show, so I used to do the hour shows way back when. So if I'm talking really, really fast, it's because I'm trying to fit a lot of information in the next 30 minutes, and at this time in the next 27 minutes and 43 seconds. It's a call-in show, so if you do want to call in, you're more than welcome to. The area code is 323-642-1248, and basically if you're calling from overseas, from outside of the U.S., even though I'm based outside the U.S., the service is in the U.S., you just dial 011-323-642-1248. We can talk about whatever. We don't have to talk about the NFL. We don't have to talk about sports. We could talk about life and in general. So before we go into week three, let's preview week three. Let's go back and look at week two and my picks. Much, much better week for me. If you're picking against the spread, I went 9-6 overall. I won 9 games, lost 6, and I was one missed field goal away from being 10-5, and that is the Eagles missing a field goal against the Chiefs, which would have allowed the Eagles to cover the 5.5 points they were given. They wound up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs 27-20. But it's the way it is. You know, the week one is also very hard to predict, and week two is also not so easy. And week three, I think, is more challenging than week one, not just based upon the matchups, but also because you start to have teams starting to get a little desperate, like the New York Giants going into Philadelphia in the home opener, who are already 0-2. They get embarrassed by the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football in their home opener, 24-10. And they do not want to fall to 0-2 in the division. So that's one of the matchups that's a little tough to call in terms of the points. But we'll get into it. So let's look back at week two and see some of the victories and some of the defeats, ones that I thought were locks, ones I didn't think there. So far you had the Houston Texans winning 13-9 and covering, getting 6 points in Cincinnati. And they actually, not only did they win the game, but they covered easily. The one game that was surprising was Tennessee going into Jacksonville and absolutely obliterating the Jacksonville Jaguars 37-16. And the reason why that was probably my biggest surprise was the fact that Jacksonville the week before went into an even stronger Houston team and beat them pretty bad on their home turf. So I was really surprised that Jacksonville couldn't cover getting 1.5. Baltimore's easy win over Cleveland 24-10, giving 8 points to Cleveland. Buffalo, Carolina, very interesting game, and sort of the Carolina that showed against the Buffalo Bills in Carolina, only winning 9-3, and really should have lost that game. Sean McDermott returns to Carolina, and he knows how to play Cam Newton. Sean McDermott, with a former defensive coordinator, would go against Cam Newton at offense every week and had the Buffalo Bills defense ready and really should have won the game. They were one drop pass away from losing, from winning that game and upsetting Carolina. And Buffalo covers the point spread easily. The Saints, I mean, the Patriots went into the Saints and obliterated New Orleans, especially in the beginning. Tom Brady had three touchdown passes in the first quarter. The Eagles losing to Kansas City 27-20. The score didn't surprise me as much as the fact the Eagles didn't cover. Like I said, they're one missed field goal away from their rookie kicker kicking for the first time in the NFL. It's going to happen, especially in a place like Kansas City. But it's interesting that the points that determine the points, and also that also determine the over-under, which means the combined score. So the NFL sets the line of how many points are those two teams going to combine to score. The Kansas City Chiefs won 27-20, which means both teams decided to tie at 47 points, which is exactly the over under line. So again, that missed field goal resulted in a push, which means a tie, and not many people choose the tie. So there you go with that missed field goal affecting one or two lines depending on who you bet. Minnesota goes into Pittsburgh and gets obliterated 26-9. I choose Minnesota because I didn't realize Sam Bradford, the starting quarterback for the Vikings, was out that week, or I would have chosen Pittsburgh easily. My lock of the week was Tampa Bay giving Chicago Bears 6.5 points, and they just destroy the Bears 29-7. The other game I won, Miami beats the Chargers in L.A. 19-17, and the Chargers were giving the Dolphins 3.5 points. The Chargers should have won the game on a field goal, which would have made it 20-19, but they still would have won, taking Miami in the points. Oakland obliterates the Jets 45-20 in their home debut, taking Oakland. One game I lost was the L.A. Rams, where they lost to the Washington Redskins 27-20, and the Rams were giving the Redskins 2.5 points, so I lost there. The surprising line, and I thought was also a very easy line, was Dallas and Denver. Dallas went into Denver giving Denver, the home team, 2.5 points, and Denver obliterates Dallas right there, 42-17. It couldn't happen to a better team, and they shut down their running back, Ezekiel Elliott, the much controversial Ezekiel Elliott, who has his off-the-field issues, but for the first time you saw him really struggle in an NFL game, and a lot of speculation that he quit on his teammates, and he admitted so that he got frustrated. Of course, he won't admit that he quit on his teammates when Dak Prescott throws an interception within 4 yards of Ezekiel Elliott, and Ezekiel just gave up trying to tackle the guy who made the interception. He just kind of stands there and then took down. So I'd love to see that coming out of Dallas. The other game that was quite surprising was San Francisco-Seattle. San Fran going into Seattle, getting 14 points, meaning that they were not favored to win, but they were favored to lose by 14 points. They held Seattle to only 12 points and only lost 12-9. Very, very surprising game. Green Bay goes into Atlanta in a battle of a rematch of the NFC Championship last year. Atlanta was favored by 3. They won 34-23. And Atlanta pretty much clearly defines themselves, not pretty much, but clearly defines themselves as a class of the NFC. In the Monday night game we talked about, Detroit went into New York, the Giants. They were getting 3 points, and they just destroyed the Giants 24-10 on national TV. Again, it couldn't happen to a better team, but it really goes to show, I think, Cincinnati and the New York Giants are in very, very dangerous situations. When you see a point of Cincinnati, who is favored by 6 points over a damaged Houston team with a rookie starting quarterback, losing in their home, not only not covering the points, but losing on their home opener, not their home opener, but losing that bad 13-9, well, okay, the score wasn't that bad, but they got beat. But that team looks like it's given up on Marvin Lewis, their longtime coach, who's been a mediocre coach in terms of wins and losses. And also on the quarterback, Andy Dalton. He just looks like he's done and he's lost the team. And when those kinds of things happen, then it depends how the team responds. You saw that with the Eagles under Chip Kelly. They just stopped responding to him. And when once the coach loses the team, it doesn't matter. Also, wins and loss on the field. It matters how the team plays for the coaches. And to me, it looks like Cincinnati has given up on their coach. I also think the Giants are also very close on giving up on their coach. Bob McAdoo, the guy who was given the job after a long time, Super Bowl champion coach Tom Coughlin, was sort of asked to leave. He sort of retired from the Giants post. His time was up as well. But an interesting point, and what I kind of admired, McAdoo, he called out Eli Manning, but he said in one specific play where the Giants were losing, going into the end zone, they had 4th and 2 from the goal line, basically at the Detroit line. Instead of kicking the field goal, they decide to go and try for the touchdown. It's basically a 2-point conversion. They have a ton of these plays on their in their playbook. And what happened was that they suffered a delay of game penalty. Basically, the New York Giants did not get the snap off within 25 seconds of the play clock that they have from the time from one play, the last play ended to the next play. And McAdoo basically said it was sloppy quarterback play, and it was. But it's very interesting to see him. He's not calling out, you know, a mediocre quarterback, a guy who's been a backup or a guy who's just barely starting in the league, but a Super Bowl winner, and Eli Manning, a potential Hall of Famer, depending on, you know, depending on how the votes go later on. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he most likely will get in based upon 2 Super Bowl wins, his longevity and his name. But it sends a message. You know, if the coach is willing to call out the team captain and the quarterback, you know, it puts the whole team on message, not just Eli Manning. Of course, if you're Eli, you should be really upset about it. But it wasn't just a message to Eli Manning. It was a message to the entire team to get your crap together, that we're entering a very dangerous and difficult period. And how the team responds in Philadelphia, a team that went toe-to-toe with who could be the class of the AFC this year, the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, and remind you that Kansas City was coming off a huge win over the New England Patriots on opening night, and they destroyed the Patriots 42-27 and won in the fourth quarter. By the way, that game was very close until the fourth quarter. And it was the same with the Eagles. They go into a very difficult place in Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium, and they're going up against their legendary coach, Andy Reid, who has a great game plan. And Andy Reid's also going against his mentee in Doug Peterson, the guy who's a little bit maligned in Philadelphia, which I think is unnecessary at this point. And the Eagles, though, because of their defense and their quarterback, Carson Wentz, pretty much went toe-to-toe with Kansas City until about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, maybe 8 minutes to go in the game. And in the fourth quarter, and they held their own, I thought, especially the pass rush. And especially Carson Wentz kept them in there with the absolutely lack of running game. And that's another controversial topic in Philadelphia. They went toe-to-toe, but the Kansas City, the better team, better quarterback at this point in time, and just went in and made 1 or 2 plays. And, you know, just, you know, the Eagles were punching with them toe-to-toe in a boxing match. Then a couple of body blows by the Kansas City Chiefs opens up for the knockout punch, and that's what they went in. They beat the Eagles. The Eagles were there at 13-13. The Chiefs break it open to get the touchdown, 20-13, on a long run by Tony Hunt, who they could not really keep. They kept him in check most of the game. But, you know, these guys are going to have 1 or 2 breakout plays. The next time the Kansas City Chiefs to go up 27-13, you know, Carson Wentz drops back to pass and he throws an interception. He basically was a badly timed throw, hits a helmet. I don't know if it was Eagles player or Kansas City. The Kansas City lineman jumps up, who had a great game, Chris, I can't remember his name right now, who had 3 sacks and interception. And the very next series, the Eagles had 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8 against the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they just stop them, they hold the Kansas City Chiefs to a field goal try, which makes the game a 2-possession game for the Eagles. Vinny Curry, I think, who's a maligned defensive end because he's overpaid with not getting the sacks, had Alex Smith, the Kansas City quarterback, all but tackled. He was on him. He wrapped him up, and all he just not could make the tackle. Smith breaks away and runs for the first down, and the next play was a touchdown. That, to me, was the killer. Like, the defense, for as well as it played that entire game against the Chiefs, you got to bail out your rookie quarterback who's carrying the offense solely by himself, and they should have been able to bail him out. They weren't able to do that, and then Kansas City goes in and scores the 27-13. Eagles it showed a lot of fight, and it showed that this Eagles team will play for their coach. As much as people criticize his play calling, will not give him a chance to learn in game time situations, The Eagles go down and score what they say a garbage touchdown, but they got the onside kick and had really a chance to tie the game. They didn't, and c'est la vie. So they go into this week. I think they're confident going against a Giants team whose offensive line is playing absolutely awful. And we see when you have a superior pass rush, if the pass rush on the defensive side beating the offensive linemen, stopping the run game, that pretty much spells doom for the quarterback. So you really have to like the Eagles' chances after seeing their performance not only against Kansas City, but also week one when the Eagles won down in Washington, how their pass rush just kept interrupting the offenses of both Kansas City and the Washington Redskins. When you look at Alex Smith's statistics, 21 for 28, 251, a couple of touchdowns, they look pretty good, and that's a typical Alex Smith game. But the pass rush for the Eagles was much better, except they got to bring down those sacks. You've got to make that key sack. The only thing I'll say in Vinny Curry's defense is that the Eagles had issues not wrapping up the Kansas City Chiefs, but bringing them down. There were so many missed tackles where our players were in the right position with the right technique, the Eagles players, but their hands were sliding off the Kansas City Chiefs jerseys or the pants or whatever. And I found that to be a little bit interesting because you normally see guys who make tackles normally sliding off jerseys, you know, and what I'm saying with the proper angle and technique that they have, and they kept sliding off. So that was something very, very interesting. There was something sprayed on the Chiefs jerseys. I have no idea. Or the Eagles' gloves to make the tackles were not also very conducive. So who knows about that. As usual, these 30-minute shows are going fast. There's still 13 and a half minutes to go. So let's look into this week's games, and we'll look into some easy games as usual, I think, and then some challenging games. But first of all, the LA Rams and San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco put on a hell of a show on Thursday night, probably the best Thursday night game ever. And the Rams hold on to the 41-39 win over the San Francisco 49ers, who, by the way, missed one or two extra points in that. I think two extra points in that game would have given the game to San Francisco, perhaps, or at least tied the Rams. But it was just a hell of a game. The Rams all of a sudden have an offense under Sean McVay, and you see what a young, energetic, enthusiastic quarterback guru slash head coach comes in and gives them a jolt. And also credit the LA Rams for going out and get Sammy Watkins, the star receiver from Buffalo, who's been often injured but has star potential and opens up the field there. And Todd Gurley looks like he's reinvented, scoring three touchdowns. So the points in that game were the Rams are favored by 2.5. And San Francisco loses by 2. So I actually put myself in the win column, but I lost that game. So that's not a good way to start off. The games start in London this week. Usually there's three games in London, and the first is Baltimore going into London and playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are considered the home team. And the Jacksonville Jaguars owner has really was flirting with moving the team to London. Not sure if that will really happen or if the NFL wants that to happen. But anyway, Baltimore is favored by 3.5. The way the Baltimore defense is playing, not so much their offense, but their defense is playing lights out. Yeah, they beat some bad teams in Cincinnati and Cleveland, but now they're going up against a up-and-down team in Jacksonville. I think they cover the 3.5 and they win that game, so that's my choice there. Battle of bad teams in Indianapolis. The Colts, who are 0-2 and lost to the Arizona Cardinals last week at home, play the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns are favored by 1 point going into Indianapolis and a desperate Indy team. I don't see – this is one of these opening week games where you have to take the home team, and this one, especially with two bad teams going into it, I'll take the Indianapolis Colts getting 1 point. So we'll see how that plays out, which pretty much means I think Indy will win the game. Pittsburgh goes into Chicago. Pittsburgh's favored by 7.5 points, and Chicago's – their offense is a bit turmoil, and they're playing a team with Super Bowl aspirations and a historically great defense. So I'll take Pittsburgh winning by more than 7.5 points. Miami, who I said last week would win in the Chargers, they did. They covered the points, and not only that, they won the game. They go into the Jets, a Jets team that is pretty much desperate at this point. And it's a divisional game. The points are Miami -6, which means they think the New York Jets, they think Miami will win by 6 points in New York. I'm going to take the Jets with the points, but I think Miami wins the game, similar to a field goal or a four-point game there. Denver, off their shocking win, shocking destruction of the Dallas Cowboys, goes into Buffalo, a team that's struggling on offense. And the way the Denver defense is played, they should have no trouble with the Buffalo Bills' anemic offense. Denver is favored by 3 points in Buffalo. And even though it's a cross-country game, I think Denver wins this game outright and covers the points. Houston going into New England. And this is an interesting matchup. New England is giving Houston 13.5 points as of yesterday. I do not think this New England defense is as good as it's been in the past. They just look like they're giving up a lot of points. They gave up a lot of points to Kansas City. Kansas City is not a 42-point offense, and they should not be scoring that many points against New England in New England. New Orleans put up 20 points, but Drew Brees had a ton of yards, just a lot of misplays and, you know, just here and there. Typical Saints. Output where they get a lot of yards, not a lot of points. I like Houston with the points. I think Houston's going to – they have the rookie quarterback in there, but he's dynamic, and it's something New England hasn't seen yet. These sort of – you know, Bill Belichick and their defensive coordinators, Rob Nikowski, I forget his name. Anyway, they're usually good against playing against quarterbacks they have a lot of film on. There's not a lot of film on the Houston quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who the Texans traded up for. And I think Houston will cover. I don't think they win the game, but I think they'll cover. Saints going into a very schizophrenic Carolina team, a team that won easily the first week in San Francisco, but struggled mightily and should have lost the game against Buffalo 9-3. New Orleans getting 6 points on the road in Carolina, a big division game for both teams. I think New Orleans covers the points, and I think Carolina wins the game. Tampa Bay, who I think is going to be a sleeper in both in the NFC South, and to me, I think they should win that division. I don't really like Carolina. They go into Minnesota. Minnesota is giving Tampa Bay 1 point. I think this game is great for Tampa Bay because they're playing it indoors. Minnesota's defense is spectacular. Let's not get that. They're in Minnesota, a loud dome stadium, but Tampa Bay has an offense built to play in warm weather or indoor situations. I take Tampa Bay getting 1 point and probably winning the game outright up in Minnesota, especially if Minnesota has their backup quarterback in there or an injured Sam Bradford. Tampa Bay's defense is a bit underrated, and all it takes is one big hit on Sam Bradford, and he might be out for the game. Atlanta's going into Detroit. Atlanta giving Detroit 3 points. And I really like the Lions this year. Atlanta looks like the class of the division. They're coming off an emotional game against Green Bay. I like Detroit with the points. Atlanta's favored by 3. I just like Detroit getting 3 points against Atlanta at home. I mean, they've shown they have an explosive offense, too. And I think this is Atlanta's first was a really good test for them. Eagles and Giants, again, we talked about it a little bit. And we're going to see the desperation out of this New York Giants team this weekend, going into a confident Philadelphia defense, although very banged up in the secondary. We're down to our third-string safeties right now, and we didn't have really too many first-string safeties to begin with. But I love the way the cornerbacks are playing. Jalen Mills is playing a spectacular role, pretty much assuming the number one cornerback role. Has to go against Odell Beckham Jr., which will be a huge test. But the rookie Rasul Douglas comes into last week's game after the Eagles lost Jalen Watkins, their other cornerback, and he can tackle. Him and Mills can tackle from that cornerback position, and that's been a weakness with the Eagles' cornerbacks for a long time. Not so much that they give up some big play yardage, which they have done over the years, but they haven't had two guys who can really tackle, two guys. And you have to go back to the days of Lito Shepard, Sheldon Brown, or even before that with Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor. I'm not saying Mills and Douglas will be those guys, but you really need cornerbacks that can tackle, especially when you give cushions to wide receivers, and they're going to have to give some cushions to these speedy New York Giants receivers, but I think they can wrap them up. Anyway, I like the Giants with the points. I can see this being a 24-20 Eagles win easily or even 27-23. But I think this Giants team is desperate, and to give them 6 points is a lot it's a lot for the Eagles right now, because the Giants also have a good defense. You know, we have to remember that. And I think the Eagles' offense, to me, is completely one-sided. Their leading rusher is Carson Wentz, which should not be the case at all. They have no running game like the Giants, and I think the Giants, you know, they can frustrate Carson Wentz just as much as the Eagles can frustrate Eli Manning. I just do think the Eagles have the better defensive fronts right now, so I think they win the game, but look for the Giants to cover. Seattle goes into Tennessee, and Seattle looks awful. Like I said, they played San Francisco, giving them 14 points and barely won at home, and Seattle got destroyed by Green Bay. They have no offensive line. That's just as simple as that. Tennessee has improved their defense, and so therefore Tennessee is giving Seattle 2.5. I like Tennessee to win this game outright. Kansas City goes into the L.A. Chargers, a Chargers team that's a bit unbalanced and trying to find their footing. They're also in sort of, even if it's their home stadium, it's really not. It's still a new stadium for them, a new situation, a new set of fans. They're probably a team that really doesn't, the team overall and the players don't want to be in L.A. They want to be back in San Diego. I see Kansas City, again, who to me right now is the team to beat in the AFC along with obviously the Steelers and the Patriots. I like Kansas City, and they have a chance to make a statement within their division and in the conference and beat the Chargers. Again, a Cincy team who I think is the worst in football, just basically because it seems like they've given up on their coach and they've given up on their quarterback. They go into Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 9 points. Green Bay is my lock for the week in terms of that I will take them in terms of a suicide or a survivor pool. I think Cincinnati's just cooked, and I think Andy Dalton's cooked as well, even with his big contract. Oakland going into Washington. Oakland won impressively on the road against the Tennessee Titans, and they also won impressively and destroyed the New York Jets at home, which you expected them to do, but not 45-20. I don't think anyone expected them to win by 25 when they were favored by 14. I think they go into Washington, who had a nice win. Jay Gruden goes against his protege and Sean McVay in L.A. And they won 27-20. They played a little bit desperation on the road. That was a tough game for Washington, considering they lost at home for the first time against the Eagles in 3 years. Then they had to travel out west, which is never easy for teams to do, whether west goes east or east goes west. But they won. However, I still think they're just an Oakland looking like they're going to challenge Kansas City in the division, and they could challenge for the AFC championship overall. I think I don't think they're the dark horse, but in a way, they're sort of the underdog in the conference. But I think they should be favored in the division, not to win the division, but one of the two favorites with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think they'll take care of business on the road in Washington. And if Oakland didn't go into Tennessee and win impressively that first week, I probably would take the Redskins. But they're really, really impressive. Another team, Dallas, goes into Arizona. Again, Dallas favored on the road against the Cardinals team that's by 3 points. Arizona is a team that they know if they win the game, they get some footing under them. They had a very bad loss against the Detroit Lions the first week, giving up a ton of points in the second half and fourth quarter. They went into Indianapolis and were lucky to win that game, but they won it. You know, they go into Indianapolis, which is not an easy place to play, and they play two road games, the Cardinals, two indoor road games, but still two road games. So you have Dallas again playing a team, making their home debut this week in Arizona, and I think Arizona looks at the NFC West as it's wide open. You know, Seattle does not look as dominant as people thought. The Rams look like they're a legitimate contender for now, until they come back to earth. We saw that with the Eagles last year. The Eagles got off to a great start under Doug Peterson, and then eventually, as the Carson went, and eventually came back to earth. I think that's what happened with the Rams, and San Francisco's not going anywhere. So Arizona has a chance to really make a statement, not only getting the division, but against the hated Dallas Cowboys, and also a chance to make a little statement in the conference as well. I don't think they're a favorite in the conference, but you never know. Arizona, if Carson Palmer finds his way, which is unlikely, but you never know, with a guy like Carson Palmer, could come out and win. I think Arizona wins this game outright. So if you're picking with the points, you take Baltimore giving Jacksonville 3.5, take Indy getting one at home against Cleveland, Pittsburgh on the road in Chicago, the Jets at home with the points, not the win, Denver winning outright in Buffalo, Houston covering but losing to New England. The Saints most likely maybe winning that game. I take the Saints with the points. Tampa Bay winning outright in Minnesota. I think Detroit, Atlanta's favored by 3. I think Detroit can win that game, to be honest. I'll take the Giants going into Philadelphia with the points. Eagles win. Tennessee beat Seattle. and covers. Kansas City beats the Chargers and covers. Green Bay destroys Cincinnati, covers. Oakland goes into Washington, wins and covers. And I think Arizona wins and gets the 3 points. It's been the Matt Kwasaborski Show, calling you live and direct from Budapest. Have a great week. Have a great NFL Sunday. And remember, inspire the inspiration. Do not wait for the inspiration to inspire you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Goodbye.